You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are about to start Act 2. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night while we come together and talk about the joys of life. Movies, TV, music, comedy. We've got it all, and that's what we do here to help us wind down our days after talking politics, being chewed up by bosses, or being stuck in traffic. Even here in Green Bay, Conrad, you can have traffic. It's funny, in Marinette, where I live, it's this tiny town. If you try to turn onto a road after the factories let out at 3 o'clock, you're screwed. You might as well be on the Kennedy Expressway in Chicago. So whatever brings you here, welcome, folks. We had a great talk with Rob Parvonian. Heard one of his songs. We had technical issues. I understand they are behind us now. So thank you, Texters, for letting us know that. That was kind of our first hour. In a nutshell, our question of the night is, what is your favorite Broadway TV or movie musical? Let us know on the text line. We will get to your texts shortly. Right now, we have a few more minutes with my pal, Rob Parvonian, who we just heard his song, Driving with Grandpa, and we have a baby in a bar on tap. Rob, I just want to ask you, what was the inspiration for Baby in a Bar, like, to pick up girls?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just my fascination with how many babies kept showing up at my local bars.
Okay. Before we get to that song, I have to ask you, you told me earlier you got the opportunity to open up for George Carlin on his final tour. That is so unbelievable. How did you get that gig and what was it like?
The gig came about through his manager's, I think his manager's granddaughter was college age, and it was right around the time my Pocket Bell rant was becoming really popular. So she had seen this video of mine on YouTube that was, just started getting, it was, went viral, and she passed it up along to her dad and her grandfather. And Carlin's like longtime opening act was a guitar comic. His name's Dennis Blair, and that's a guy who opened for him for like decades. And so they thought I'd be a good fit for the shows that he couldn't make. So it just sort of came out about that way. Just really good luck that, you know, someone in their group saw a video and thought I'd be a good fit. And then I started a few dates for him in the fall of 2007 when he was just starting to work on his material for what would be his last special. It was called It's Bad for You. And so I got to see him like do that material when it was new, kind of work on it. And then I did some shows with him the following, you know, the following spring into like May of 2008 when he had shot his special and the material was like polished. So I got to see him like develop an hour over the, I did 12, about 12 shows with him. So it was fascinating to see like a legendary comedian, like sort of work on a new hour.
That is unbelievable. What?
Yeah, it was cool. I did random spots with him. So like Erie, Pennsylvania, Minneapolis, Salt Lake City, they were all just like scattered gigs that their other guy couldn't make. So I was, I was all over the place.
Wow. So did you get to meet him?
Yeah. Yeah. I met him like the first show I did with him, I met him backstage and had a little chat, and it was great because his manager had showed him the Pocket Bell rant, the video that was becoming really popular. And so he's like, yeah, I saw that Pocket Bell thing that you did. That's pretty good.
Pretty good
is like anyone else saying you're pretty good is like, well, that's lukewarm. But from Carlin, to me, that was like my best review ever.
That's like, there are legends. And then there is a legend like George Carlin. I mean, maybe the greatest stand-up ever. And I remember not walking across the street to meet him once, thinking, well, I'll have other opportunities. And, of course, I never did. Here it is. You got to meet him and not only open for him but hang out with him a little bit. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it was a huge thrill. Still one of, like, the biggest thrills of my career.
How was the crowd? Amazing?
The crowds were great.
Yeah,
they were, you know, he played theaters, you know, like some, you know, 1,200, 1,500-seat theaters. We played this theater in Boston called the Wang Center. And and it's one of those giant theaters. The next night I asked him, it's like, yeah, that was like, and it was sold out. It was like a Saturday night. And I asked him the next night, it's like, yeah, that place was big. There must have been like, what, 1,800, 2,000 people there? And they're like, Rob, there were 3,100 people there last night. Oh, and wow. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't know that till now. It's like it had, you know, one of those places that had like balconies and loge sections that were so in the dark, I couldn't even see where they were. But it was, yeah, it was cool. Like,
what yeah. a thrill.
Bigger crowds than I could have ever drawn in my life.
Yeah, a little bigger than Zany's downtown in Chicago that holds about 90 people.
Which is also good if they're listening. You know, sure. I love Zany's downtown Chicago. I'm available this fall.
We'll see what we can do. Rob Parvonian is my guest. He's a very funny stand-up comedian, New York City-based. You've seen him on Comedy Central, Dr. Demento, and he's opened up for George Carlin, which is pretty cool. We have another song that Rob shared with us called Baby in a Bar, about his neighborhood being taken over by family. His once cool and hip neighborhood now being taken over by babies and families. Here is that song now.
This song is dedicated to the Brooklyn that has evolved since since I moved here, because I see lots of babies in bars now. I don't think there are any here tonight, but I hope not. I see a lot of babies in bars, and I used to get upset, but then I realized I can't get mad at the baby. It's not their fault that they're at the bar. And then I started to wonder, what's the baby thinking? So I wrote this song is from the baby's point of view. I'm a baby in a bar. Everything is so big. Daddy's drinking a beer. He won't give me a swig. This is a great place for me, with all this vodka and glass. Every surface is wet. I know that I'll bust my ass. But don't blame my dad, he's not. But don't blame my dad, he's not an alcoholic. We've been stuck in the house. I got the colic cause my tummy hurts, because my sphincters don't sphinct. I've been screaming for days and daddy needs him a drink. And I think the bartender's not happy with me, cause I don't know how to tip and I don't have ID. And all the guys here hate me cause I'm blocking their jocks by tripping all the ladies' biological clock, 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 clock. I'm a baby in a bar. I'm a baby in a bar. This place used to be cool, but now while I'm sitting here in a puddle of drool, and I think I annoy the bartender tonight. When she shakes up a drink, I just shriek with delight, cause it's shiny and it makes funny noises. Getting dirty looks and I guess I deserve it, but maybe they're all jealous of my bottle service. But I think it's cause I'm ruining their sense of mystique. This neighborhood used to be edgy, now it's Sesame Street. But it's not my fault, so spare me your scorn. I didn't choose this place, I was dragged here in a Bjorn. So before you take it out on me, stop and think. You all are here to get laid, where do you think that would lead? To a baby in a bar. You guys sound amazing. Are you ready for an awesome show?
Oh, that's fun. Great stuff, Rob.
Thank you.
Just love it. Hey, this has been fun. Let's do it again when we don't have
definitely
this tech issue. We just got to have you back on more often. And since you're a musical guy.
I'll come through Green Bay next time through.
Oh, come on, man. You got to come through here, Rob. We got great audiences
here. It's been too long. I haven't been to Wisconsin in a minute.
All right. Let me see. I'll reach out to some people. I get no respect around here. People don't even like me, but I am going to go to bat for you, buddy. I would love to have you here in the studio live. So let's see if we can make it happen. All right.
And I'm excited that you got the Godfather guy on. I love that movie. It was fun. Mike Siegel was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Lance Barber. What? Yeah. Tell him I said hi, even though I never met him.
It was a fun cast. I will definitely do that. Rob's a great – Rob number two is a great guy. So we're consistently talking about Rob's tonight. So much appreciated, Rob. Have a great night. And, yeah, let's talk soon, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
You
take
got
care.
It. That's Rob Parvonian. Check out his work. Check out his special. Just go to the YouTube. That's what the kids call it, right, Conrad? The YouTube.
The YT.
Oh, excuse me. And this is like, I wanted Rob to hear this. I didn't see this. I'm a little out of sorts, but he said, what's is it Qui or Kwai? I think we've had this conversation before.
That's a good question.
He says on the stream, oh, good. Dewey Wop Wop is stuck in my head now. Me too. Kwai or Qui. Excuse us if we're not getting your name right, but that's a great text, and I'm with you. Conrad's mom checks in regard to our question tonight, which is, what is your favorite movie musical, Broadway musical, or TV musical? You could share all three if you like. Paula says, my favorite is musical Mary Poppins. Also liked The Greatest Showman this week at our neighborhood barbecue. I won first place in the cornhole tournament. That has nothing to do with the questions, but it is fantastic.
Maybe they were singing while they were doing it.
I hope so. That's fantastic. Thank you, Paula, and congrats. Dave on the stream says, La La Land. Great one. Great one, Dave. And then he also says, That's Entertainment 1, 2, and 3. Wow, Dave is on it, man. Great old stuff. Agreed, Dave. Okay, Kwai. Okay, Kwai is fine. We got to remember that, Conrad.
Yes.
Thank you, Kwai, for clarifying that. Much appreciated. My last name is Schwaba. I've been hearing lots of different stuff my entire life. So I totally get it. Ross from Crawford County, he's in the 608. He says, I'll show my age live, Cats, movie, Sound of Music, or West Side Story. Nothing wrong with that, Ross. We're all getting older every day. So glad you're texting and glad you're listening. Thank you, buddy. Tom from Monona says, The Commitments, yes. Or The Last Waltz, another great Martin Scorsese movie that is kind of forgotten about. Thank you, Tom. Steve from Florida, that's Conrad's dad, folks. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is an awesome musical starring the almost 100-year-old Dick Van Dyke. That is true, Steve, and definitely worth a rewatch. Tyler from the 608, he's in Wisconsin Rapids, says, Popeye with Robin Williams and Shelley Duvall was pretty good, I think. Therefore, I am what I am. Methinks what methinks? Or am I confusing that with Shakespeare? Thank you, Tyler. Annie from Watertown, who let us know our volume was down before, says, I think we've worked it out, though. But thank you, Annie, and sorry about the inconvenience. Ross from Crawford County says, Conrad, you're probably hearing from others. I don't need to read these texts. I just gave a blanket statement that I appreciated all the listeners telling us that we were not in great shape before. But we've got it all figured out thanks to the awesome talents. Was it Drew?
Yeah, Drew Smith.
Drew crushed it. Drew Smith was on it, folks, and now we've got radio. Joe from the 715 says, Les Mis for sure. Broadway show. Totally agree. Bridget from the 818 says, Hamilton. I love the music, the story, creative and innovative. Well said, Bridget. Tom from New Berlin says, I liked Pitch Perfect. All three of them, the voice was the original instrument. Very well said, Tom, and totally agree. Robert from La Crosse, his phone is in the 801. Do you know where that is, Conrad? Take a guess.
81.
And then go to the Google. But guess first.
I'm going to say South Carolina.
I'm going to say Southern Utah. And I don't know why.
Okay.
All right. Robert says, Cabaret, not the movie production. The musical explores themes of escapism, apathy, and the dangers of ignoring political unrest, using the cabaret as a metaphor for the situation in Germany, 1929 to 1930. And now for the situation unfolding in the USA. Okay. Thank you for the text, Robert. Much appreciated. Thanks for listening. Kate in the 715 says, Legally Blonde, Anything Goes, Waitress, Mean Girls, and Wicked. Great choices. Sydney from Oregon says, Fiddler on the Roof, but only that one song. You know the one. Yeah, anytime a show is that popular that you can say a text or put in a text like that and everybody knows what you're talking about means it's a monster musical. Keep those texts coming, folks. You can hear me now, and I want you to be on the radio, so let me know. Coming up next, actor, martial arts teacher, singer, Rob Martin is here in the studio. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwaba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Man, we are having fun on a Tuesday. Technical glitches behind us. Drew Smith crushed it. We are running, banging on all cylinders. Another text on the stream. Kwai who now we know how to pronounce his name. That's a big help. And I feel much better about this, says, Xanadu is my favorite movie musical. And he said he had a crush on Olivia Newton-John.
That's
ha-ha.
A smart man.
Who hasn't had a crush on
That's him? A smart man right there.
And that is the voice, ladies and gentlemen, of actor, martial arts entrepreneur, singer, dad, Rob Martin. Welcome, Rob.
I can't help it. I look at this microphone and I think, you know, I feel like I'm Harry Doyle. You know?
Harry Doyle.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Just a bit outside.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Civic Media. Harry Doyle here. In case you haven't noticed it, Schwabba and Conrad are threatening to come out of the cellar.
Look. Whoa. Hold on a second there. Pseudo Uke.
That was from the movie. I know.
Bob Uecker, unfortunately, never will probably be able to be on the Civic Media airwaves. It'll be a lot more difficult
but
for
him. But he just
now.
Was.
Yeah. He was. Exactly. All right, Rob, so I have to tell people how we met. I made this movie. I talk about it from time to time on the show, but I try not to overdo it. But I met you. We were casting the role of a hitman in The Godfather of Green Bay.
Yes.
We auditioned two very fine actors. One was named Peter Balistrieri.
Yep.
And one was named Rob Martin.
I was threatened by him in his leather coat, dude.
Listen, he's a really good actor. I don't know if he's still acting, but we thought he was spectacular. The problem was... It's not a problem, and it's nothing he did. He was just so convincing and scary. And Brian Edding, the producer, said to me, you know, this is a comedy. Rob also looks scary, you.
Yeah.
But you were also somehow funny, too, and that's why we went with you, and I'm so glad we did. You just crushed it.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I mean, I didn't have a last name like Balistrieri to,
I know.
That's not
a pretty sweet last name.
Like, I'm not making any comments about Italian.
No, I know. Listen, it's a great last. It's a phenomenal name.
Perfect.
But anyway, it's great to have you here. You drove up from Milwaukee so we could reunite here on the air. And that was such a fun experience for me getting to know you. And I want to go out of my way here to say what a home run we hit with, you know, some actors we brought in, Tony Goldwyn, Lauren Holly, Tom Lennon, Lance Barber, I was living in LA at the time, but the actors we found in Milwaukee. And Chicago, but we were 3 for 3. We had you, Eric Price, and Mark Borchardt.
Of the three you just mentioned, I have to say, Eric Price had to be one of the funniest people, comic relief people, in that entire film.
Oh, yeah.
He was brilliant. The spag omelet thing has still got me laughing.
I wish I could take credit.
It was hysterical.
People will come up to me and say, that was so great. I go, it's Eric Price. He just ad-libbed that.
Have you ever been over there to Bart Starr's place? Yeah, they got a new thing called the spag omelet. It's awesome.
Awesome. He was so funny. That part was written for a guy who was like 45 or 50. But Eric is just one of those guys. He was so funny in his audition. I was like, we got to use him. We have to rewrite the part a little bit. He was great. But you as well, playing Chuck Martinelli, a.k.a. Slugs. You're a retainer-wearing hitman.
That was your idea. And I remember going to the dentist's office up there to get fitted for it.
Oh, no.
It was still hilarious. But there are two scenes in that movie, and I'll get to that. But the reason I think you saw the comic in me was there was two things going on at that audition. Number one, I had auditioned for the bartender. I had a Southeastern, you know, Wisconsin bartender, Pat.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I put a straw in my mouth, you know, I got the towel over my shoulder. Hey, guys doing, you know, and that's a nice car you got there. Hey, that's a beaut. And my agent said, she said, listen, I'm not supposed to give anybody lead time on this. She goes, but I want this for you. So please take these sides and go and learn them. So I did. And
for the hitman?
Yeah,
for the bartender. Okay, gotcha.
So then I don't think I got chosen, except for Donna, who chimed in and said, I want to try him out for the hitman.
This is all coming back to me.
So
now.
Then
yes.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm going up there to be a bartender, but now I'm trying to put a hitman together. Here, this, you know, Midwestern suburban boy, you know, naivete extraordinaire. So I'm like, what would a hitman do? And I brought a pack of cigarettes, having never smoked a day in my life, and was trying to light them during the audition. And I kept fumbling with the cigarettes. And then when I took a puff of it, like, I knew I didn't have this gig, because I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that, you know, I got to get this out of the way so the people can see me.
No, yeah, you're good.
There's no way I have this. So when I got the call back, I for sure thought Balistrieri had it. 100% thought that he had it.
Yeah.
But she saw in me this thing, and I was like, okay, cool, let's do it.
That's fantastic. That happened a couple times because I know Tom Lennon got, or no, I'm sorry, it was Lance. Who was? I think Lennon wanted the another part, wanted Lance's part. No, Jeremy Piven. I'm sorry. We were out to him as the DUG character, which went to Tom Lennon. Piven said, I like the Kenny character, but we had already cast Lance, and he wasn't as well known as Jeremy Piven at the time, but we just thought Lance was great too. And you get married to these cast members, and it's like you can't get them out of your
head.
What
a cast.
Yeah, it was. We
Lance Barber goes on to do Young Sheldon as the father. Like, when I saw a clip of that just happened, I wasn't a follower of that whole series. So when Young Sheldon clip came across on YouTube and I saw that it was Lance, I was like, oh my God.
He's amazing in it.
Kids, come here. Yeah. I was to work with that guy.
You also, you stared down, for a guy who hadn't really done too much acting at the time, you had scenes with Tony Goldwyn, who is one of the most respected actors there is.
Hollywood
still
royalty.
To this day. Yeah, and Hollywood royalty with the MGM connection. But you were not intimidated at all. And you looked at him, and I think you looked up at him because you're a tall guy. He might have an inch or two on you. And you said, listen to me, you mutt. And it was beautiful. It was like, it was just great. I cannot believe how you hit it out of the park. All right. Rob, okay. Rob Martin is here. We'll have more with Rob, and we're going to talk about a really cool thing Rob overcame in his life, and we're going to talk about movie gangsters because he played one. We'll do that all after the news. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, we are on the Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Was this a beautiful enough downtown for you to get in your car in your posh suburb of Milwaukee, Robin, drive
you
up
to be on the
show? You
don't want the answer to that. Because the answer is, I came here wholly and specifically to spend 40 minutes with you. Because 20 years after we shot a movie, the only movie that can I say the word? Can I say ass on the radio?
Yeah, well, you just did. But yeah, go for it.
I kicked Tony Goldwyn's ass.
You did?
And he just came to us.
Movie fight, yeah.
Off of Last Samurai.
Yeah.
He flew in and came
Ghost,
to
Ghost, where he was like a killer.
Yeah.
So yeah, you
beat push.
He was. He learned the hard way what it's like here in Wisconsin if you cross the wrong guy.
I came here for you.
So let me ask you that. You, like I just said, you got the part. You did such a good job in the movie. Did you try to pursue acting then? Or were you kind of like, this was an experience? Because there are people like you that do that, and then they just don't, they're like, yeah, that was fun, but I teach martial arts, or I teach singing, or whatever. I know you had a band at the time. Like,
so there's a much longer answer, but the answer is a lot, the true answer is a lot deeper, and it was given to me by a guy who was helping me, of all people, build out my basement last summer. And he said, because the way it ended was really hurtful, very, very messy.
What was messy?
So the end of the band that I was in was very messy.
Yacht rock band that you founded.
Yeah. So we were going through a lot at that time. And he said, and this is how it comes into what you're asking me. He said, your dream is not what you think it is. He said, your dream is the one thing that you'll sacrifice everything else for.
Mm.
He goes, so what will you sacrifice everything for? And the answer was instantaneous. My family.
Sure.
No, nothing trumps that. And so when it came to at the end of the movie, I mean, I told you that story briefly.
Yeah.
Donna Bauer, who was the casting agent, just a nice lady. She had said to me, I need you out in Los Angeles because you're going to work.
Yeah.
And so here I am staring that, you know, fork in the road with, like I said, high definition, you know, 4K. Either I go to Los Angeles and pursue the dream of being a full-time actor with you know, freedom because I didn't have kids at the time. So there's...
And you got a good credit in your back
pocket.
Great
credit. Oh, yeah. Had tons in my reel because I did right. a couple national ads. And
oh, sweet.
So I had the opportunity. And then I had this woman that I absolutely adored as the other side. And I told you the story. In the parking lot of a Taco Bell in Marinette.
I know that Taco Bell way yeah. too well.
Talking yeah. to my closest friend in the world, Jason Thrun. And I said, I don't know what to do. I had tears in my eyes. And he's like, dude, all I can say is I don't want to be in your shoes right yeah. now. And I chose Jack. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would.
Now you have three kids. Like, that's beautiful, the beautiful thing. Beautiful, you make a kids. Decision.
Yep.
When kids are involved and you yep. got a happy marriage, you're not going to ever regret that.
I don't. Never.
And frankly, you know, a lot of people are told, oh, move to L.A. And they do. And, you know, maybe they have some success. Maybe they don't. But you're never going to regret that decision.
The interesting thing is, I think it depends on what people move out there for. Because if you have a Harrison Ford or a Diane Keaton who moves specifically, their passion is acting, right? So Robin Williams, another good example, who goes to school for it, and that's what he wants to do with his life. That person, it doesn't matter if they become huge stars. But then there are those right. people that go out there because they want the fame and the fortune and the rock star status. You know, I'm still impressed by, I don't like his religious views, but I'm still amazed by Tom Cruise and what he's willing to put himself through when he's committed to a part.
He's the consummate, whatever you think of him.
Unbelievable.
I thought he was weird and he won me back over. Now I'm like, he's maybe the greatest movie star that's ever lived.
And if he hasn't earned that by now, he never will.
Exactly. So let's talk about, you had we were talking about your singing career. You founded a band called the Docksiders.
I was a co-founder, yeah.
Co-founder with Kevin. And you had a head injury.
Yep.
That kind of derailed that a little bit. I mean, you could have
done
it. Yeah, completely. Tell us about, I remember reading that, Rob, when you posted something or your wife posted something, or maybe Kevin did on Facebook about this injury you had while you were roller skating, correct?
Yeah, so...
It was a visceral reaction. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like
people wear your helmets.
Yeah.
So we went to, we went skating as a family in the dead of winter, February, on February 27th and 22. And yeah, I don't really, I mean, we were there for probably an hour before the incident happened. And then I don't remember anything for 3 days after that. And I was in the hospital, suffered 3 brain bleeds, 5 fractures of my skull. I had a subdural, which was the scariest one, I guess. And when I came out of it, I couldn't speak. So I had speech aphasia where, you know, I'd mix my words up. Mm-hmm. And, the singing thing, they did a lot of research to try and figure out what the holy grail was for me. So was it multiple friendships? Was it the singing career? Was it the artistic background? And they couldn't pinpoint it. The only thing I can say is that because Jackie was an ER nurse at one time, she didn't have the typical, and I don't mean this in a negative way, the typical loved one response where it's, oh my God. And then they run over to you and are you okay? Her thing was mechanical. It switched on. Call the ambulance right now. Don't move them. Ran over to me, made sure that they put me on the, when they weren't properly putting me on the gurney, she corrected them, got me to Frederick Hospital, and Frederick saved my life.
Well done, Jackie.
Right?
I mean, and how do you feel? Like, you just made a joke where, not a joke, but wear your helmets. When I'm at a skating rink, and it's been a while, but I took my kids a few times to a skating rink. I cannot believe with how hard those floors are. And sometimes you're going 30 miles an hour with no helmet. Why wouldn't you wear a helmet? Why doesn't the skating rink make you wear a helmet?
I don't think they've gotten there yet, but it probably will happen. I met the people, actually this last February was my first time back. And we went back there, and oddly enough, my son broke his wrist that day, so we probably won't go back.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But I met the people that were there that day, and I've had a fabulous reconnection with them, and their recounting of how it happened and stuff. So it was very cathartic to go back.
So you had, you decided you chose love over the movie business, which probably would have just frustrated the hell out of you at some point, like it does all of us.
Probably.
And then you had this great the Docksiders, this great yacht rock band, kind of out in front of the curve a little bit, right, with yacht rock? Like, I hadn't even heard of it until I talked to you.
Yeah, so there was another band that was doing it out of L.A. Who really moved the bar. We weren't motivated by them. What happened was Kevin had invited me to go with him to see Toto at the Shell in Oshkosh, I think. It's like right on the river. And we met Paige and Lukather on the walk, and he chatted with them, and we were driving home, and he put on XM radio. So this was 17. And he had this Yacht Rock radio on XM. And the first song I heard was Dance With Me. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't heard this for 30 plus years. What? And I was hooked. And he said, I kind of want to start a band. I'm like, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's absolutely do it. And, you know, I gave a caveat where I said, I'm only doing this because he and I had a history together. Very up and down kind of friendship. And I'm absolutely a part of that. I would never say it was one person or nothing.
Sure.
But he, you know, I said, as long as we're doing this for fun, I'm in. I don't need a business. I just want to sing with you and his wife, Erin, and sing with you and Erin again. That's all I want out of this. And then because we had such a huge response, you know, it escalated very, very quickly. And then we were touring the country, singing Ram's Head on stage and singing in Annapolis, Maryland, and singing in Kansas and singing in Nebraska and doing these, you know, huge venues. So it escalated quickly. And then the last show was right before the head injury was in at the Pabst Theater. And Tony Orlando had come up to sit in with us. And the guy's consummate pro.
The legend, yeah.
Yeah. So it was very, very cool.
Very cool. Rob Martin is my guest. He was he played Chuck Martinelli, also known as Slugs, in The Godfather of Green Bay. If you've seen his work, he had great. He did some really phenomenal stuff with Tony Goldwyn, and
I got to hug Lauren Holly.
Yeah.
Hello.
How about that? You're doing okay. I had to do it on screen without a shirt on. That was a little.
How do you do that? That's a good question. We should get back to that one because how do you pull that one off?
I've had many people ask me that. You just have a couple cocktails and you go for it, you know. My favorite scene you had was with Gary Buschetto, where he was like your captain or capo or whatever, and you're at the bar.
Oh, so funny.
And you sit down and you start to talk and you got the retainer in your mouth and Gary goes, take it out. And then you take the retainer out.
He was so good.
He was great.
I couldn't stop laughing because you and Brian were saying, Rob, we can't do this all day. We got to get this shot.
You got a schedule here.
But it was cracking me up every time I pulled it out. And then you said, Rob, see if you can
extra you can saliva.
Get some spit on it. Yeah. So I put some spit on it like this.
It was brilliant. So let's talk. You played a gangster in a movie. Do you have, like when you, I know this was just like this indie film, $500,000 indie film or whatever, but did you have someone you were
trying? Chili Palmer.
Oh, from Get Shorty?
From Get Shorty.
Who played Chili Palmer again?
Come on, John Travolta.
Oh, he was the main character?
Yeah.
I saw that movie once, and I remember really liking it, and then I tried to watch it about 15 years later, and I just kind of wasn't as into it. But yeah. I should know that stuff.
If you watch my scenes now with Chili Palmer in mind, you'll see that I was trying to... I never saw myself as a Don Corleone or you know...
They're not funny.
No. Analyze this. De Niro did a great job with... what was his name in that movie?
Harold Ramis?
No.
Oh, Billy Crystal. Harold Ramis.
Yeah, he did it, Billy Crystal. Yeah. But what was the what is his gangster name in the movie? I can't remember. Vito.
Okay.
Mr. Vito. And he was hilarious. But Chili Palmer was my...
I think my favorite... I've got a few of them. And I think I accidentally threw my list out. But Dennis Farina in Midnight Run.
Okay.
Foxy Brown, Pam Grier. Love her for many reasons.
I'm remiss. I should watch that movie. I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's good. Tommy from Goodfellas. Love Joe Pesci.
Okay.
And there's a few more. I can't believe I threw my list was written on my questions.
Don't
for
you
Ron
ever
Burbank.
Go over my head again, you.
Yeah. You got it. And even, but I do love Don Corleone. I mean, he's not funny, but he's just amazing. And Michael Corleone.
He's the only one that I think still had a heart. of any of the gangsters. That's why I liked Chili Palmer too, is because he was cool. He wasn't like, revenge was his thing if it was necessary.
Yeah.
But Michael was, you know what? I'm going to skip the middlemen. I'm just going to kill everybody.
Right. Exactly. He, like, the most decent guy turned into the biggest devil, you know? Yes. Conrad just texted me. He remembers on my list was Albert Finney in Miller's Crossing. You ever seen Miller's Crossing?
Never seen that either.
Oh my God. The Danny Boy scene, college papers have been written on. It's Albert Finney laying in bed, smoking a cigar, big Irish gangster. He's about to fall and go down. And people are coming after. They enter his home and he puts a cigar down and he picks up a Tommy gun, puts his feet in his slippers. And I'll give you the exciting conclusion right after this. We'll have a few more minutes with Rob Martin when we come back. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba, and it is great to have you here on this Tuesday, post-Memorial Day Tuesday. Our question of the night, what is your favorite Broadway movie or TV musical? And we have a text from Steady Eddie we have to get to. Kurt Krause. I was just about to mention Kurt Krause's name because he sent me a really cool photo with of him and Rob. But Steady Eddie says, Pete, when the double record album Jesus Christ Superstar first came out, I was in high school. I bought it, loved it, and literally wore out the vinyl set. So I bought another one, but my favorite musical is The Wizard of Oz. I sometimes out of the blue find myself singing the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow and thinking about Judy Garland. Another line from the song in The Wizard of Oz, sung by the Scarecrow, that I often sing to myself after I make some stupid mistake is, with the thoughts I'd be thinking, I could be another Lincoln if I only had a brain. Pete, feel free to use this version of this lyric next time you hit a goofy golf shot on the green or into the windmill, in my case. That putt I should have been sinking if I only... Golf like Lincoln. Damn it, if I only had a brain. Pete, did you know old Abe was an excellent golfer? I did not know that, Steady Eddie. I had no idea. Thank you for the text, pal. And Chris from the 715, Chris Alfheim, here in Appleton, or in Appleton, says, liked, did they effectively answer your question? Oh, sorry. That's not... You just got to take that stuff off. I always start to read it, and then I catch myself.
Now I want to know what it says.
Well, it's something with... Marinette, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris. Chris is texting the show inadvertently. Conrad, she probably doesn't even know she was texting us.
And no, I'm not sure.
And then Kurt Krause, Rob, sent me a picture of the two of you guys. And I've been posting a lot of stuff on the stream lately, but it's not the picture of you and Kurt is great. Then he's got some other pictures of people I don't even remember, like backstage. But one of them is you teaching the Macarena on the set of The Godfather of Green Bay.
Yes.
How fun was that? And my own fault for putting that song in the movie so it's in people's heads forever if they watch it. But that must have been fun for you.
Smartest move you ever made. Now the movie's stuck in people's brains.
I hope not.
Was
yeah,
it your sister that was really mad at me, though, right?
Julie, man, why? Why was she mad at you?
Because I either took over because it was... I was watching and it wasn't being taught correctly. And I think she had it. But how am I going to turn down? What were those girls? The
Hooters
Hawaiian
waitresses.
Oh, they were Hooters or were they Hawaiian Tropics?
Well, I was told they were Hooters waitresses, but I don't remember a lot of the stuff because I had other stuff on my plate. So I don't know where they found them. I thought Hooters.
I just remember teaching Tony Goldwyn how to do the Macarena in your garage.
How fun was that?
How tired must he have been that night? Just landed from freaking Japan.
Yeah, no kidding. That was fun. You did a good job, dude. The Macarena, and the guy we hired to mimic it, we paid $5,000, I think. He was great. He did a great job. Because that's what you have to do to license a song. You can get, I think we paid him, and then we paid for like a festival license or something. But yeah, that song is forever in people's heads. But it was a great song. Admit it.
It was a great song, Pete.
Thank you. Did you see Mission Impossible?
The new one, no.
Okay.
No.
What kind of movies do you like to watch, Rob? As a dad and as an artiste, what is your taste in movies?
Pete, you're talking about a guy who refuses to go to streaming and buys everything on 4K and Blu-ray.
Still. I love that. I know some people like that.
I love movies.
Yeah.
So the remodel that I just did on the basement, first of all, I've never built, I shouldn't say never, but building out a whole basement, framing it all out, and saving us the money that we saved by not hiring contractors to do it, and the elaborate stuff that I like forced myself to try and learn.
Yeah.
I told Jackie, I said, listen, my payment for doing this is that area right over there is going to be my theater.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And so I did tons and tons hours of watching prices and looking on eBay for stuff that was so far out of my price range that my only hope was to find something that was used. Right. And I lucked out. So I have, it's awesome. So I just watched for the first time in that theater on 4K, the new Top Gun, the Maverick.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's a great one. Well, watching a screen like that.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to love this new Mission Impossible then.
So I guess favorite movies, I don't have one. If I had my top three all-time favorite movies, Blazing Saddles would be in there.
Nice.
Because of the connection to my dad, probably Smokey and the Bandit, even though it's not the best movie in the world.
But a comfort movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure, I get that.
I'm not a huge gangster guy, but I did absolutely love The Godfather 1 and 2. Not a big fan of 3. And
likewise.
Gosh, there's so many. I can't. Caddyshack, for obvious reasons. Holy Grail.
Do your kids like to watch movies with you?
My kids are of the generation where it's 7 seconds.
You know? My daughter too was like that. She always says, I hate movies. Every time we make her watch a movie, she loves it. She loves everything she sees. I'm like, you should watch more movies with us. Do we have a text for Rob Conrad?
No, I'm just saying we got one last text.
Oh, Jim from Appleton says, my favorite is Into the Woods. Great songs. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. And I got to give you a shout out. Mike Desitel, a fan of the show and a guy who's contributed to the show. That was one of the best memories of his life was you teaching him the Macarena. And he remembered that. And we'll have to see if we can scrounge up a picture or something.
Absolutely.
But that's great stuff. Rob, this was fun. Thank you.
It's over.
Thank you for driving here. Well, we can sit and chit chat for a few minutes.
Okay.
But the on air part of it is over. We'll do like an after. What do they call that with Conrad's giving me the we're number one sign?
Yep.
Hey, this is a rough night, buddy.
97.9 FM WGBW.
How about we do this? How about we go out with a little of more uke? Can you do more uke and take us to the break?
Yeah, you can try.
All right. Rob Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. I'd like to thank all my guests. Rob Martin, Rob Parvonian, and tomorrow night, folks, on the show, we got another great one. Milwaukee's own film critic Matt Miller will be here. We'll be breaking down the weekend box office, which crushed. And Dennis Graham from Rock Hansen. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad and my pal Rob Martin, who is going to do Bob Uecker.
Then hey, we'll close thanks the show. For listening, ladies and gentlemen, here at Civic Media, 97.9 FM WGBW. Keep your eyes open for Schwabba and Conrad in the evenings.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.